We've been looking about some of the ways that we can receive from God. God is so eager to help us to receive what he has. There are very various different methods whereby we can receive. We've looked at the laying on of hands. We've looked at the anointing with oil. We've looked at the prayer of agreement. We've looked at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've looked at faith in God's word. And tonight I want to talk about signs and wonders. Signs, wonders, and miracles. And here's a scripture from Romans 5:18-19. This is Paul writing. He says, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. By the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way round to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. He has fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. And I want you to think for a minute what that full proclamation involves. Because it not only means a proclamation of the word, but a manifestation of signs and wonders and miracles following. Because he says this, by the power of signs and wonders and through the power of the Spirit of God, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. And I want to put it to you tonight that the gospel that we preach is not simply a gospel about forgiveness, but it is a gospel that says God is for the here and now in signs, wonders and miracles. See, isn't it funny how the church has courses? You know, I've done loads of courses and taught loads of courses in the past. No doubt you've been on them as well, that have taught you about the ABCs of evangelism. They've said you've got to declare how you are a sinner and you fall short of the glory of God, and the result of that, the consequences of your sin, that the separation from God. God saw that wasn't good, so he sent Jesus to die on the cross for you so that he might be the perfect sacrifice, die for you, and that relationship might be restored. And we've had that drummed into us and taught to us, and rightly so. But that's only half the story. If we come to church and we preach a message that God forgives your sin and you can go to heaven one day, we've missed some of the gospel. Because the gospel includes signs, wonders, and miracles. Paul said, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. And, you know, we've said this before on a Sunday night, but, you know, we really need to get to that place where we recognize that God wants to do signs, wonders and miracles amongst us. You see, really, the position that most churches have, and if we're not careful, we have a danger of falling into that, is that God is the God of the past. You can go to churches and hear sermons about how God moved through the Israelites and through Moses, and how they came through the Red Sea, and how David did the sling and slew Goliath, and we've got the whole Nehemiah of building the walls of Psalms, and we can see how God moved in miraculous ways in the past. And we can come to church and listen to sermons about how we're going to heaven and how wonderful heaven's going to be and how we're waiting for the sweet by and by and it's going to be wonderful. It's good. Yes, God is the God of the past. He is the God of the future, but he is also the God of the now. And when we preach the gospel, it's a gospel, it is a kingdom that affects people, not only their future, but their present. I have fully proclaimed the gospel. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Again, there's a scripture that tells us that when Paul preached, it wasn't just a simple preach, and I'm going to tell you about forgiveness, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. No doubt he did, but it was with signs and wonders following. He demonstrated the full gospel. A lot of things that we know about Paul. Somebody was having a Facebook discussion in the middle of the week about whether Paul was married and whether he was a widower or not, and that's irrelevant. The Bible doesn't really tell us whether he was married or not, and you know, I don't know what it achieves by discovering whether he was married or not. I don't know. But the thing is, one thing that we do know from the scripture is that Paul actually wasn't a very good preacher. He 2 Corinthians 10:10 says this: his letters are weighty and forceful. So he's a good theologian. Praise the Lord for his good theology. Thank you, Lord, that we've got the letters, but and forceful. But in person, he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Fancy having that said about the Apostle Paul. Now, what made his ministry so powerful wasn't necessarily what he said, but what he demonstrated. You know, I'm not just empty words. I'm not just telling you simple words, words that are particularly unimpressive, but I will show you what's impressive. The power of God in signs, wonders, and miracles. In fact, there's one other scripture here. It just tickles me, really. It says in Acts 27, you remember the story of Eutychus, who is a chap that fell out the window listening to Paul at midnight. And he was in the upper room. And it says this: on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking to midnight. And Luke, in Acts 27, is quite descriptive in the original Greek of Paul's sermon. If we go back to the original Greek, it says that Paul went on and on and on and on. But Paul was a preacher. He went on and on and on. He wasn't impressive and what have you. And Eutychus falls asleep during Paul's sermon. Falls asleep so much that he falls backwards out the window, 3 stories down, and he's dead. But I tell you, what was impressive is that Paul went and raised him from the dead. Now, why do I tell you this? Not only that Paul wasn't a very good speaker, but I just want to encourage you that you might not think that you're a very good speaker. You might think that you haven't got the words. You might think that you're pretty unimpressive. You might think that you can't string the words together to share and witness. But I tell you what you can do. You can pray for somebody and see them healed. You can pray for somebody and see them delivered. You can pray for somebody and see mighty wonders and miracles happen in their life. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but power." And this is really the reason why I'm doing this whole series, is because, you know, we're not coming to church just to listen to a nice little sermon. We're coming to church to meet with a powerful God who can change lives. And we can say all that we can say until we're blue in the face, but unless, blue in the face and red in the face, but unless we can prove what we say, it's meaningless. No point us saying, "Oh, God is our wonderful healer," unless he is. No point saying God is a God of signs and wonders and miracles and can help you and break the chains of your bondage and can bring joy into your life if we go out the door as miserable as ever. You see, God is a God who wants to change our lives now. Not just a matter of talk, but of power. Not just an idea, not just a philosophy, but something that impacts our lives today. 2 Corinthians 12:12 says this: I persevered in demonstrating among you the marks of a true apostle, including signs, wonders, and miracles. And I just included this one because I know that there are some people who would say, "Aha, it's only the apostles that moved in signs, wonders, and miracles." And this is the verse that actually let people demonstrate that that's the case. Saying I'm a mark of a true apostle. This is 2 Corinthians 12:12. But if you were here the other week when we were talking about the thorn in the flesh, this is the verse that immediately comes after that, and we were talking about the whole 1 Corinthians 10, 11, 12, the context is false prophets and false apostles. And that's what Paul was having to contend with, false apostles. And really what he was saying is that the mark of a true apostle is signs, wonders and miracles. A false apostle, well, they are going to move in signs, wonders and miracles. That's the way that you can tell. You can tell whether I'm a believer or not by whether what I say I actually demonstrate in my life and in your life. So I don't think it's just limited to apostles. I think it's just that Paul's saying here, this is the difference between a true apostle and a false apostle. This is just one of the marks that you can see. A changed life. And by the way, you can look at Stephen and Philip. Philip the evangelist moved in wonders, signs, wonders and miracles. Stephen moved in the miraculous. Neither of them were apostles. And when you go back to 1 Corinthians 11, when you talk about the spiritual gifts, what are listed in there as the miracles? Which were for the whole church, not just the apostles, for every believer, along with the other gifts that we've mentioned over the weeks. So the miracles aren't limited to the apostles. What is the definition of a miracle? Here's a dictionary definition, it's a bit complicated. An extraordinary event in the physical world that surpasses all known human or natural powers and is ascribed to a supernatural cause. But let's look at the theologian as a definition. The temporary suspension of the unusual laws of nature and the intervention of supernatural and divine power. Someone's put it as explosions of almightiness. It's when the Almighty God comes supernaturally into our lives, suspends the natural laws of nature, and affects something marvelous that gives him the glory. Miracle. And so an example of that from scripture is Exodus 7:9, when Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake. Supernatural. It's not something that happens in nature. It is a suspension of the rules of nature for God's glory. But then looks at wonders. Then the Lord said, I'm making a covenant with you before all people. I will do wonders never before done in any nation and in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. The dictionary definition of a wonder is to be filled with admiration or awe or marvel. Theologian's definition is something so unusual it arouses close attention. And you see, what I'm trying to get you to see right now is that the signs and wonders and miracles prick people's ears up. They get people's attention as to the fact that God is God and who he says he is. You can believe what I say because of this demonstration of God's power before you. It shows you that Jesus is Lord. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. It's a key in evangelism. Should be a key in evangelism. Oh, am I looking forward to Marilyn Harry coming in a couple of weeks' time? Because she is somebody that not only preaches that you need to be forgiven, but she preaches the whole gospel. She demonstrates the whole gospel. She fully demonstrates the whole gospel with signs, wonders and miracles following. She prays for people. She sees them healed. She sees them delivered. She sees their lives changed around. Wow. And this is how we should work. Not only just sort of say, should say, well, actually I want to tell you about Jesus, how he can forgive your sins. We should. But now I want to demonstrate that Jesus is real. I'm going to pray for you. And what's your need? Because I'm going to pray that God would meet that need and he would show to you that he is not this is what I'm talking about is not false, but it is very real. A sign. Oh, here's a dictionary definition. I nearly took this slide out, but I'll read it now since I put it in, left it in. The reason why I took it out is because I thought, this is more complicated than the word sign. Okay, an object, quality, or event whose presence or occurrence indicates the probable presence of an occurrence of something else. Theologian's definition is probably the best thing to look at. Signs point to a reality beyond themselves. All true signs from God must point to a belief in the Word of God. So the signs, wonders, and miracles really, you know, they're all pointing to Jesus. They're all pointing to God. They're not pointing to how clever I am, how good we are, how fantastic I might be, but they all point to Jesus. John 2:11 said this: what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The signs point to Jesus. Signs, wonders, and miracles, they point to Jesus. Healings point to Jesus. Miracles point to Jesus. Wonders point to Jesus. There are 117 miracles and wonders in the Old Testament. 32 miracles by Moses, 23 miracles by Elijah, 72 miracles and wonders in the New Testament, 46 miracles of Jesus, 26 miracles of the disciples of Jesus. And when we look throughout the scripture, we see miracles in various ways. God has power over animals. So, God's miraculous power. God has power over animals. So Daniel in the lion's den, the lion was kept from chewing up and eating up Daniel, right? Authority. We've got Paul, the snake, how it didn't harm him. And also, somebody said to me this morning when we were talking about Palm Sunday and how Jesus rode on a donkey that had never been ridden before, he actually rode on an unbroken donkey. Hadn't been broken in. Yet he had the authority over something had not been broken, and it was difficult. And, you know, again, we could take analogies from that even the most difficult thing, God is not difficult to overcome. And by the way, when we talk about our authority, we have authority over animals as well. What? Well, it's in the scripture here. Well, I don't believe it. Well, if you don't believe it, you won't see it, will you? You believe it. You see, Chris and Hannah, you've got authority over your dogs. And
they've got to believe it.
Hmm. But honestly, you know, when we're thinking about if there was a dog chasing you down the road and it was ready to bite your leg off, a Doberman, not one of the nice dogs around here. But, you know, we've got authority. Be calm in the name of Jesus. Get down. Okay, God's miraculous powers over nature, the passing of the Red Sea, the stilling of the storm, over the created world, the axe floating on the sea, the Jesus walking on water. Power over the weather, 1 Kings 17:1. We've not been averse to praying for the weather, have we? So God has power over death, Dorcas 9:37. God has power over evil spirits. God has power over prisons. Or 1 Kings 17:1 was the scripture for power over weather. Dorcas was the example I was using for power over death, Acts 9:37, although we could use the cross and all of that as well, all the other people that have been raised from the dead, Lazarus, for example. Power over evil spirits, Luke 4:31, and then power over prisons, Acts 16:26, that time when there was an earthquake and the chains were loosed around Paul and Silas. Miracles. Signs and wonders that demonstrate that Jesus is Lord. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And that word demonstration there is the word proof. They prove who Jesus is. Hebrews 2:4 again reminds us the salvation which was first announced by the Lord was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So they are proof of who Jesus is. They point to Jesus. They glorify God. They're a suspension of the natural laws of nature. They demonstrate who Jesus is, and they confirm Jesus' words. So when Marilyn Harry is here in a couple of weeks' time, she'll preach the word, she'll preach the gospel, but then she'll prove what she says is true by demonstration of miracles, signs and wonders. And it should be something that should be part of our lives, just not the few. We should be looking for it every day. Matthew 11:20-24. Not all will respond. So there will be some people who see these miracles and they'll just not be fazed by it one bit. So look at Matthew 11:20-24. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. What this is saying really is at the end of the day that Jesus went around performing miracles, signs and wonders, but not everybody believed. And, you know, there will be people who you pray for, they'll be healed, but they won't repent as a result. They didn't with Jesus. And Jesus is saying, woe to you, you know, if I'd have done this somewhere else, they'd have repented a long time ago. And he even mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah, that if Sodom and Gomorrah had seen these signs and wonders, they'd have repented as well. But you haven't. Woe to you. And of course, Jesus in his scripture is saying, well, actually, you've had that revelation. You've had that opportunity to believe. And actually, because you've not responded to God's prompting in your life, well, then you'll be more answerable for it in the future. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they would still not believe him. John 20:12-37. And that is just a reminder that we can preach until our heart is, you know, preach our hearts out. We can perform signs, wonders, and miracles in the authority of Jesus' name. But not everybody will respond. They didn't respond to Jesus. So again, we shouldn't be disappointed if, there will be a group of people who will say, wow, this is absolutely amazing. Jesus and God must be real. And they say, oh Lord, if this is who you are, I want to follow you for the rest of the days of my life. I just want to get my life turned around from the way it's going and turned around to the way that you want me to go. There'll be people who say that. But there are people who say, well, I don't know. I know I've been healed, but I can't be bothered. I'm going to carry on the way that I am. I know I've seen this. I know I've seen that. Yeah, God's real, but there'll be people like that. Does that mean that we don't preach because people don't respond? Does that mean that because people don't respond to signs, wonders and miracles that we don't pray for them and see them healed? No, we just do our bit. We do what God has commanded us to do. And it's up to them to respond. We can't believe for them. They have to respond for themselves. Okay, we're going to stop here for a minute, okay, and be a little bit interactive. Okay, so anybody seen a miracle? Okay, tell us about the miracle, what you've seen, demonstrate. So, give us one, yeah.
I needed some blue sheets.
Yes.
That we couldn't get.
Yes.
And someone gave me 200 sleeping bags of blue sheet inside.
Yeah.
Big miracle.
Yeah. So something that would, in the natural, not normally happen. Anybody else seen a miracle?
Oh, no. When I was driving on the motorway, I went come up the side of this car and he started moving out, and all of a sudden I was back behind him.
Right, okay, yeah, yeah. So God supernaturally sort of steps in sometimes. I always remember the pastor at the Huddersfield Church used to talk about an occasion where he was driving down a lane, and at high speed there was another car coming towards him, and they thought to themselves that they were going to have a very, very serious accident. And before they knew it, the car had, you know, literally flown over the top of them. You know, and the baby that was on the back seat didn't wake up. They ended up in a ditch, but they thought that it was the end of their lives. The baby was on the back seat and didn't even wake up. Hallelujah.
I was told that my son would be born, stillborn.
Yeah.
And my wife would not be able to bear a child at all.
Yeah.
Saw them through her ill health.
Yeah.
Ill health that it was that he would be born stillborn. But
yeah.
He's now 40 or
yeah.
Nearly 50 year old.
Yeah, yeah.
And that to me is a miracle.
Yeah.
That God brought both my wife and child through all that.
Mm. Mm.
Seven after now. Mm. It's under observation.
Yeah.
Before already.
Yeah. Mm. Amen. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Talking about sort of miracles that we don't often see the answer to. You just reminded me of something you were talking about, Caleb, how you'd seen him 7 years before. When I was a young pastor, I was asked to go up to the hospital and pray for this very premature baby that had got meningitis, and they weren't sure that she was going to pull through, or the prognosis that she wasn't going to pull through, and that she was going to be a vegetable the rest of their life and everything. Hallelujah, a week later she was fine. Amen. Shouldn't really have been surprised, should we? But I was at somebody's funeral, and the mother introduced this very pretty little young girl to me, and she says, "This is Emma." And she must have been 21 years old. She said, "Do you remember praying for her 21 years ago?" And, you know, she remembered God's faithfulness, you know, and sometimes we just forget these things, don't we? God is a miracle worker. You know, I mean, think about that lad that fell out the back of the coach who said that he was never going to walk again and he was going to die. And no doubt you can think of many, many miracles that you've seen in your lives. And you've prayed for people. You've prayed for people at the pub. And they've seen miracles in their lives. They've seen people healed. And again, really, I guess we can use that as an example as well, that how people at the pub, not all of them have repented. No, they said, "Thank you very much for healing me, God," but they've carried on their normal ways. They've had the revelation. Well, God will sort that out someday. But, you know, we keep on praying. We keep on preaching the full gospel.
Well, the way that I was told that I would never have children.
Yes.
And when 3 weeks before Rachel was born, surgeon said, "However you've managed to conceive, I'll never ever know."
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, yeah.
And then 11 months later,
yeah.
Stopped.
Yeah.
I was only 33 and everything, you know,
went through
the menopause.
Yeah.
So couldn't have any more. So she was a miracle.
Amen. Amen. So God's done, you know, is your hand up?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
A few years ago, we were driving down the M6, I was driving, near Birmingham, and it was very, very busy, and the brakes failed completely.
All right.
And we were in the outside lane at the time, and we just shouted to God, and we got across two lanes, and there was a bridge approaching, and it was like, well, I'm sure an angel pulled us back. And
wow.
Stopped us, because they said they don't know. The man came and said, "I don't know how your car stopped."
Yes. Yes. Praise the Lord. So there's good things that we've seen in our own lives that bear testimony that God is a miracle working God. You know, and we shouldn't be afraid to be the agents of those miracles and speak them into being, because, you know, we need to pray for people. And you know, there might be situations in people's lives that are the impossible, but yet God can suspend the laws of natural nature to make things possible. Okay. All right. Where are all the miracles I've put here now? Is it that the Lord has changed? No. Malachi 6 says, "I am the Lord and I change not." Some say, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just reiterate what I said right at the beginning. We are not a church that believes in the past and the future. We are a church that believes in the past, present, and the future. Some say the apostles are dead, but Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Is it the wicked society that we live in? Elijah experienced God's power during the reign of Ahab. So what's stopping us? You remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal? You know, King Ahab was against him. You know, he had, was it the 70 prophets of Baal? There's a big number of prophets of Baal anyway. Can't remember the number off the top of my head. 400. Hey? 400, yes, thank you. 400 prophets of Baal. He was outnumbered 400 to 1. And yet, with God on his side, nothing is impossible. You know, so we might say, well, the wicked society we live in, there's no hope that we can preach the gospel and demonstrate signs, wonders and miracles and it will make a difference. Well, actually, the example of Elijah is demonstration that it is possible. Is it government oppression? Peter, James and John had to deal with persecution from religious and government leaders of their day. And we read that the Lord added to their number the church daily. Just as an aside, and I realise I'm going on, nearly done. Just as an aside, we are entering a political time in the world and in this nation. And it is time, and you'll hear more about this in the weeks ahead, I'm sure, that we as a church need to rise up and make our voice heard, because there are other minority groups who are making their voice heard and are stopping Christians from, you know, preaching the word of God freely. So, for example, I don't know whether anybody's seen it, but there's a petition up to stop Franklin Graham coming to the UK. Franklin Graham wants to come to the UK and preach, and yet there's some liberal left, I might say, I don't know quite how you might describe it, but there are people who are upset at that, and they are vociferous in wanting to stop it. They say that he's anti-woman because he dares to say that an abortion speaks against abortion on demand up to birth. You know, this is what the liberal left want in America. They want the right to be able to terminate babies 10 minutes before it's born. It will be, exactly. And when actually they start, the women keep going on about against Donald Trump, because that's the reason why, because he says, no, I'm withdrawing the funding for this, that and the other. Anyway, that's another matter. But Franklin Graham is, so he's anti-woman, he's anti-Muslim because he says Jesus is the only way. And he's sexist because he says it's okay to dress his daughter in a pink dress. You know, it's just, the world is going mad. And the agenda is being taken over by people who are not pro-Christian and pro-God. And their voice is very loud at the moment. And we need to be prepared to speak up. J. John has written a very good blog. I'll try and put it on Facebook so that you can see, where he's written a letter to the BBC and said, look, it's not right that you are portraying Christians the way that you are. It's not right that on Radio 4 that you have these mediocre preachers who believe less than their congregation doing the thought for the day in the morning. Very good letter there that he's written. So is it government oppression? No, but we can stand up and we can win in the name of Jesus. This is the culture of our day. There were godly ungodly places. Ephesus was the most of ungodly places. There were people looking at alternatives, new age kind of things. And today people are looking to the new age alternatives and goodness knows what, idols. But I tell you what, one thing that we do see in today's society is that people are fed up with political ideas that haven't worked. People are fed up with Big Brother, big data control. People are fed up with lots of things. And I believe as a church we need to take advantage of that, because if we don't, others will. One last thought then. Does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law, or because you believe what you've heard? Nothing to do with the government. Nothing to do with the culture of our society. Nothing to do with politics. Nothing to do with how good we are or how bad we are. It's whether we're willing to believe God at his word. And when we see God at his word, then we will see signs, wonders and miracles amongst us commonplace. Mark 16, 17 to 18, it's just again, these signs will follow those who what? Believe. Okay, one last verse, one last scripture, and then I'm done. This is from Acts 4, 23 to 30. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. These people who had just been arrested and released by the Sanhedrin for preaching the word and demonstrating signs, wonders and miracles. When they heard this, they raised their voices and they said in prayer to God, Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servants whom you anointed. They did what your power and your will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Now, what I've done is, really, I've read that because I want you to see their prayer. Enable your servants to speak your word with boldness. That's our prayer, Lord. Enable us, even this week, this fortnight, Easter next week, with the dinner and everything that we're having here next Sunday morning. A couple of weeks, three weeks today, is it? Marilyn Harry, with us. Give us boldness to invite people. Give us boldness to share who you are. Give us boldness in our conversations, even this week, with our witnessing. But that was not... That was only half their prayer. The full prayer was this, you see. And stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. So my prayer, and I hope that your prayer, is this. Not only help us to share the message of forgiveness, but help us to share the full gospel and see signs and wonders and miracles following in everything that we do. Lord, may we see it in our lives and in this church for your glory. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.